The host of this program is no stranger to controversy. In fact, he revels in it. He's finally figured out that running for office may not be his thing. He could be more influential and win more battles behind the microphone. Get ready for lightning in a bottle. Get ready for a host who knows the issues and is unafraid to say what he really thinks. Get ready to learn something about today's top news. This is the Ed Martin Movement.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Ed Martin, welcome to the movement. I'm glad you're here. It's Friday. Well, 10 days out from the election. We got two Fridays to go, but it's getting close now. If you're into this race, if you got friends that are running or you're in a campaign or you're smart, this weekend people start knocking doors, making phone calls, getting active. You're going to see a lot of things happening, and there's a ton to do. And I wanted to get my old friend Woody Woodrum on. I thought I'd grab him when I could. So it's a what you need to know. Here's what you need to know. What you need to know, first off, what you need to know is California wasn't even on my radar screen. As I was saying, it was a Trump red wave. There was no blue wave. I said, here comes a Trump red wave. And all of a sudden, California, there's people actually talking about how John Cox has surged and he's closer than people have seen in a long time. It's kind of a surprise to people. And that down in those congressional districts, as in Southern California, especially Orange County, Republicans look to be doing better. So I thought I'd get from Woody an update on California and then also talk about this effort to make sure that your vote is defended. So Woody Woodrum is the founder and president of the California Screaming Eagles. Woody, how are you? Welcome back on the show. How are things?
Ed, I'm doing absolutely wonderful and good to talk to you again.
Well, it's good to be with you, Woody. So first, tell me about Southern California. What's the state of play, or California in general? I know Woody Woodrum is also sits on the California Republican State Committee on one or more of the committees there. What's the races look like in California?
Well, yeah, as you're aware, Ed, there's seven targeted races. We've got a District 10 up in Northern California, Jeff Denham. That looks like that's pretty safe. District 21 was contested, and it looks like the Democrats have pulled out of there, and that's David Velotto. Then in California 25, we've got Steve Knight that's in there. That's looking good. And then in Fullerton area, which is just north up in Orange County, we've got California District 39. This is the seat that Ed Royce is retiring from, and a lady by the name of Young Kim is running in that. She is a she's a termed out state assembly person. She's doing really well there. That's looking good. Mimi Walters is in Irvine in California 45th Congressional District. She's doing pretty good, holding well. In California 48, we've got Dana Rohrabacher in there. He's got a slight edge.
Yeah, they're making a big deal out of Dana Rohrabacher's race being close. Is it really close?
Yeah, it's within a few points. I think it's within the error of margin right now, but it looks like, I was just talking to some people up in Orange County, it looks like that they're doing some things up there. They're going to be pulling out the stops this week, and I think that Dana's going to come out of this okay. Now, then we've got the seat down here in San Diego in Vista. Daryl Issa is retiring, and it looks like Diane Harkey is not doing very well there. Over the past week or so, she's not been polling well. There's a lot of people that are supporting both her and her opponent. So that race is kind of up in the air, and it's not looking the best for Diane Harkey right now. So that may be – that's a possible loss, as much as I hate to say it.
Huh, wow.
And, and then we've got, there's the contested thing that's going on with Congressman Hunter out in the 50th district. Hunter is looking pretty safe and all of that. There's a lot of negative things going on with him and with his opponent, but it looks like Duncan is going to come out of that okay. And there's a couple of seats that I'm really watching very closely. The one is up, it used to be Sonny and Mary Bono's seat, California 36 up in Palm Springs. That's Kimberlyn Brown. She used to be in the Young and the Restless. She was a soap star, star in there for like 30 years. She was Sheila. And she's kind of a dark horse. The people there really love her, and she's common sense. Her opponent doesn't do anything, and I think that could be a dark horse race. We could actually take that back.
Wow.
And then we've got another – in San Diego, which we're supporting, we're doing a lot for a young man by the name of Juan Hidalgo.
Yeah, that's my guy. I had him on the show, Juan Hidalgo. I love that guy. He's the right Juan, right?
The right Juan. That's it. And the people are excited from Imperial County through San Diego County. He has gotten a lot of people involved. He's gotten a lot of the business people involved. I think that that could be another race that, you know, if he doesn't win, it's going to be a lot closer than what people are expecting. So we're really looking forward to that race.
We're talking to Woody Woodrum, and Woody Woodrum, the website is CaliforniaScreamingEagles.org, CaliforniaScreamingEagles.org. Woody, just give me a thumbnail. John Cox, it's always a tough slog to try to win for governor in California. You have to be a kind of liberal rhino like Schwarzenegger. And then, you know, so is there any chance? I saw some polling that had Cox within, the mid single digits. What's the momentum feel like out there? I mean, it's hard when you're running like that because there's not going to be a lot of national support. It's so expensive to run TV and all. Is there any, do you have any hope there?
Well, there is, Ed, and here's what's going on. I've seen a couple of recent polls, and it depends on which polls you're looking at. They're anywhere from Cox is within 10 to 20 points, depending on the polls. But all of the polls I'm looking at, what's really interesting is that the largest demographics of voters in California is number one is Caucasians, and number two is Latinos. And I'm seeing something that we saw in the Trump campaign. There, of both of these demographics, there's about 15% of them that are undecided. And we saw this in the Trump campaign where people were undecided because they didn't want people to know that they were going to vote for Trump. And I'm wondering if the same thing is going on with Cox. So it could be a lot closer than what the polls are telling us. So there's a lot of hope for that.
Well, very good. Well, now we're talking with Woody Woodrum, and I wanted to get that update on California. And, of course, point out that if you want to come join us, I'll be in San Diego at Golden Hall down there in downtown San Diego for our election night coverage with Andrea Kaye. But let me get quickly. I want to get to this. It's important. I've told my listeners that, you know, we're it's the Friday before the election. We're 10 days out to the election. And there will be voter fraud. There will be people trying to steal elections, but steal votes. And Woody, you guys have an effort called Defending Your Vote, and to go to defendingyourvote.org. And you're pointing out that if you're here illegally and somebody tells you you can vote, you're breaking the law. You don't fall for it because, you know, some people are here illegally and they want to figure out how to either stay or get back their status or go home and come back or something. And your point is it is against the law to vote when you're here illegally, and you'll pay a price when you're caught. Tell me, I'm in St. Louis. And is this a real problem, Woody? I mean, you know, the President Trump brought it up at a rally, and the media went crazy and said, he's just saying that. Is this a real problem? Well, tell me about your effort, defendingyourvote.org.
Well, absolutely, it is a problem. And one of the things that we're looking at, we're trying to get some public service announcements out, and we've got one American News Now. We've got two videos that are 30-second ads. And these are geared towards the dreamers and stuff. You know, like you said, there's a number of people that are here that have a path to citizenship or that are trying to obtain some type of path to citizenship. But if they get caught voting illegally, if you go to our website, defendingyourvote.org, you'll see that there's several cases. Some of these started back in Obama's administration and have carried through, and people have been sentenced 5 to 7 years in jail. A couple of them are they were part of the dreamers that were here. They're going to be deported after they serve their sentence. We don't want that to happen to anybody, so we're running these ads to let people know. Like I said, One American News Now, we just got that with them. They're going to be showing that between now and Election Day. We have gone to two of the largest Spanish-speaking stations, Telemundo and Univision. Now, these videos that we have, they're done in Spanish, and they have English subtitles. So we're gearing this towards the Spanish-speaking community. We've also got it into Cox Cable, which is the largest cable company in San Diego County, Orange County, Riverside, and Imperial County. And we're going to Spectrum, which covers all of L.A. We're getting that information out to them. And it's also, we have gotten it into Fox News, and we'll see if they pick up on it. So we're trying to get the word out to keep people from, you know, ruining their path to citizenship, because the government will look at that. And if somebody is trying to work towards a path to citizenship and this comes up, it will ruin any chance that they have.
We're talking with Woody Woodrum. CaliforniaScreamingEagles.org is the organization that he started to get folks organized to make California golden again. And also, he has this new effort, DefendingYourVote.org. As I've said to people, Woody, when it comes to elections, the number one thing you do to protect the integrity of the vote is to talk about the importance of fighting voter fraud. actually, you have to then fight voter fraud, have good systems, but people have to hear. It's almost like you can scare off people. You can make them aware of the penalties. You can make people aware what to watch, and it's very effective. Of course, you and I both know the best tool is a photo ID that people could use, and it makes it a lot clearer. Although in California, for example, some people that are here illegally don't have the right to vote will have gotten a driver's license or another photo ID, and so it can get confusing. Well, it's good stuff. I appreciate it very much. Woody Woodrum, California, ScreamingEagles.org and DefendingYourVote.org. Find out all about that and join Woody Woodrum and I. He'll be down there at the Golden Hall in San Diego on election night. We'll be there on election night checking out the returns from 6 to 11 p.m. with Andrew Kay. All right, we'll take a break. It's Ed Martin here in the Movement on The Answer. Be right back. Welcome back, Ed Martin here in The Movement, and it is, you know, you catch these memes that ride along, and one is jobs, not mobs. It's a hashtag and a meme, and people have done a lot with it, and obviously, since we're facing this insane caravan headed towards our border, I just got a text from a friend of mine who's married to a Honduran woman. And she said when she saw the pictures, let me read it to you. I should save this for later. But when I read it to you, he said that he asked his wife what she thought of what she was seeing in the pictures and all. And her response was, if you look at all the people who come in that caravan, they're gangsters and crazy people. None of them that I look at are people of medium level, is the phrase. And my friend says by medium level, she means an average poor Honduran like her where she came from. That's how she described it. So anyway, what happened is I got one of our leaders in Utah, Sherilyn Eager, who's a fearless fighter for the Constitution and good stuff, emailed me. Actually, I take it back. It was Tammy Nichols from Idaho, another fighter. And she emailed me and said, hey, the guy who started Jobs Not Mobs is Chadwick Moore. You should have him on the show. And I said, get me on him. Let me talk to him. And so he's on the line. Chadwick, how are you, sir?
Hey, Ed, doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. So listen, tell me how you came up with this. More importantly, I guess you came up with it because you looked at what was going on. But how did it take off? Can you tell who sort of amplified it past when you first started using it? Tell us the history of Jobs Not Mobs.
Yeah, well, I can't take full credit for coming up with it, but I can take credit for it getting out there. So
Wait a second. I thought you were a full credit guy. Joey, kill this mic. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. All right. So tell me how you launched it into the stratosphere then.
Well, I'm a Fox News contributor, and I have a fairly large Twitter following and verified and all that. And I tweeted something, a couple weeks ago. And one of my followers had just responded. It was sort of like an account with maybe 100 followers, and it wasn't very active on Twitter. And he just replied, vote Jobs, not Mobs. And I looked at that, and I said, this was right after CNN and everyone else was really backed into a corner because the president had said that they were mobs. And so it was hilarious to watch the left and CNN really in a tailspin because the mob label was basically so true, and they knew it was true. So they were deflecting like everything. So I saw this and I tweeted it to President Trump and the GOP. And if you have a verified Twitter account, then other verified accounts will see your responses first. And I just said, here's your midterm slogan. This is so genius, Jobs Not Mobs. And then I sent it to, I have a good friend who's very, very well connected in the administration. And I sent it to this person. I texted it to this person that night. And I said, we have to get Jobs Not Mobs into someone's ear at the White House. It's such a good midterms slogan.
Yeah, yeah.
And she responded, oh my God, yes, perfect. I'm on it right now.
Huh.
And then a couple days later, I'm open up Twitter and I see President Trump hashtag jobs not mobs, and I was like, wow, amazing. And then I've seen it everywhere since then.
Well, and that's you're right about. First of all, you're right about it. And let me ask you this, because you're a writer as well as a contributor on Fox News, and we're talking with Chadwick Moore. And let me make sure I get it right on your Twitter feed, because I know people are going to want to follow @Chadwick_Moore, and it is verified. So find that one in case there's guys trolling him. But it took off. And now, this is what I want you to answer me this question. Took off. It's clearly reshaped the debate as well as the election. And now these bombs came out and the media is madly trying to chase that story. So they're off of the jobs.mobs story. Do you think that's right? What do you think about that?
Oh, definitely. Well, you know, the first instance of this was I'm not sure if this made large news in St. Louis and elsewhere, but was the event when Gavin McInnes came to speak at the New York, the Metropolitan Republican Club here in New York. And I was there. And this is when the mobs narrative was still going around. And, you know, Antifa, the paid Antifa mob showed up. And, you know, they were trying to shut it down. They're doing what mobs do. You know, mobs by nature are irrational.
Right.
They're dangerous. They're lawless. Antifa committed crimes that night. So what happened that night, if your listeners realize, is Antifa ambushed a group called the Proud Boys, which is sort of a conservative fraternity. And I was with them when it happened. I saw the whole thing. And immediately the powerful Democrats in New York and then nationally used that to try to turn the mob narrative around. And they're like, no, it's the Trump supporters who are a mob, see? Well, no, that's not exactly right. And now we have this. It was actually people leaving an event and being ambushed by the mob that was paid. You know, conservatives don't show up at events organized like to try to shut them down. That's only a left wing thing.
Right.
And it sits on this. It's not only do we have. You know, I've been a victim of the mob too. A video of me last spring went viral. Me and Milo Yiannopoulos were out having lunch in New York. And we were assaulted by a group, by a mob chanting Nazi, blah, blah, blah. And, we had to leave this restaurant. We got pushed. It was on video. I went on TV to talk about it. So I've been a victim of the mob many times. And it's only a left-wing thing. And we see this not only just on the micro level, where we have these groups like Antifa, who organize and engage in this sort of mob behavior and mob violence. But we see it on the macro level. The Democratic Party is openly advocating to get rid of the Electoral College. The Electoral College was put into place to prevent mob rule. You know, it was put in place because the founders realized the potential tyranny that could result from straight democracy. That's why we live in a representative republic. And now they're openly wanting to get rid of the Electoral College, which would lead to mob rule.
Right.
It would lead to New York and Los Angeles controlling the entire country.
Yep.
So it goes even bigger than that, you know?
Yeah, we're talking with Chadwick Moore and at Chadwick_Moore. Chadwick, so when the jobs.mobs takes off, right? And did you, what do you think about where we are now? I mean, I'm so mad about the fact that the caravan is coming towards our border and we're sending down like, you know, eight people. It's really 800, but we're not sending down, we're not really standing strong. I wonder a little bit. Because suddenly the president and the Republican Party is not being as strong, you know, in like the last day. One of the tricks of the left is to use a crisis, in this case, this ridiculous bomber, and try to shut get conservatives off their game. You feel like that's they're falling for it a little bit?
Right. Yeah. And as you mentioned earlier, I'm sorry I didn't fully answer your question. You're right that the with jobs not mobs trending, and then suddenly what you have is a mob,
right.
Or some might say a horde or an invading army heading our way. Of course they want to deflect. And what more perfect deflection than what's happening with this bomb business? Now, we don't know anything yet. Most intelligent people I know who follow the real news are extremely suspicious and looking at the hallmarks of this being not a conservative or Trump supporter. Of course, it obviously could turn out to be that way. But personally, I highly doubt it. Who knows? It's a perfect deflection. And if Republicans had been, if those devices, which weren't, I mean, we could say bombs, they were essentially they weren't rigged to go off. They had bomb-making materials, but they weren't meant to go off. So if Republicans had been targeted instead of Democrats, then, you know, the narrative, the story would have gone away in an hour. It would have been like, oh, some prankster sent devices, you know, early Halloween scare for some Republicans, some prankster sent devices, moving on to the next story. It's a perfect thing to distract from the invasion that's coming in on the southern border. The Democrats are so desperate. They have nothing but losses. They're trying to turn anything into a win. The Kavanaugh hearing really galvanized Republicans, I believe, to get out and vote. I think most conservatives and Republicans were worried 6 months ago that there would just be low voter turnout. Yeah. People wouldn't be motivated.
I think they're motivated now. All right, I got to run. Chadwick Moore, the guy's good. At Chadwick _ Moore, and we will be back. It's Ed Martin here in the Movement on The Answer. Be back. Welcome back. It's Ed Martin here in the Movement. You know, there's a gentleman that's been a friend of mine. He's been on the show before, but his name is Hal Shurtleff. He runs an effort called Camp Constitution. And I have to tell you, what made me think of him was I saw an exchange he had with somebody about making good arguments about how great the Constitution is. But I was reminded of him, and I didn't think to do something on this. But about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, some of my listeners will remember, I had a guy on talking about the Constitution, and I asked him. He teaches it also, Hal. He does some things. And I said, what's the thing you have to sort of worry about most when you talk to young people about the Constitution? You know, what is it you have to teach them first? You can't, you know, do you have to reteach them the history? Do you have to reteach them the... And he said, they don't know what natural law is. They don't know that these rights come from God, not from some, you know, politician or Bernie Sanders. But let me make sure to say campconstitution.net, campconstitution.net. And Hal Shurtleff, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
Well, thank you very much for having me on, Ed. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, I'm glad to talk to you. Let me start with that question. You know, I know you do a lot with the students. You have a summer program, a week-long summer program. Next summer, it'll be July 28th through August 3rd in 2019, and you're teaching young people. You got regional efforts. I think you said there's one on December 1st in Western Mass. I may tell my brother, you know, my brother, the retired Marine, now lives over near Worcester, and I'll try to get him to...
Oh, well, our camp is about 45 minutes to an hour from Worcester, yeah.
Oh, good. Well, I'll check in. But let me start with this... Go ahead. Say it again.
Sure. Oh, it's the Lakeside Christian Camp and Conference Center is where our December 1st Christmas breakfast will be held.
Oh, good.
And we're going to have a couple of guest speakers there. Reverend Stevie Kraft, one of our instructors, and a young lady, Malana Chastian of the Ladies for Liberty. So it'd be a good event.
Yeah, well, I'll pass it on to him. Now, let me ask you the same question, though, Hal, to start off like I asked that gentleman a month or two ago. You get these young people in, and what's the first thing you got to do to get them ready to kind of have a meaningful experience and come away with an appreciation of the Constitution? What do you have to teach them, reteach them? What do you have to do?
Well, I think that was a correct answer, that where rights come from God. That's a fundamental thing. And we are a Christian-centered group. We're not a church-based group, but so that's the fundamental premise, that rights come from God, and the purpose of government is to protect those rights. And then we teach them that what kind of government we have, a republic, not a democracy. And then we'll go over the Constitution is not that complicated a document, no matter what some attorneys might say. You know, you've got seven articles and 27 amendments, and you have a preamble, and you have the declaration that went before that, you know, 10 or 11 years before that. So those are the things we do, and we have different instructors. So every year we have to teach some of the fundamentals, but we might have a different instructor teaching it. So it's not the same exact person saying the same exact thing. Chris Ann Hall, who's an incredible instructor.
Yep.
She won't be coming next year, but she's been at our camp, you know, 3 or 4 years. This year we actually had a British Lord Monckton. So we got almost a European. What's a patriotic European think about our country?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's very interesting, you know, their perspective on it. We're lining up speakers all the time, we're going to have an expert on the right to keep and bear arms. We had Larry Pratt over the years. And sometimes we might focus on one, you know, like the Bill of Rights or the Second Amendment or the Article 5 Convention and why it's a very bad idea and why we need to stop it. So... But I think one of the things I teach a little class is called Know Your Constitution.
Right.
And it's based on a little 10-question quiz that I prepared a long time ago. And I use this at information tables, at homeschools, at Tea Party rallies, at Second Amendment events, or in downtown Boston Common. Oh. And it's just some questions that most people do very poorly on it. You know, some basic things. But the good thing about it is that when people realize, you know, what did the philosophers say? The essence of wisdom is the realization of one's own ignorance. If you realize that you don't know a whole lot about it, And then we're not trying to make people feel stupid, because give me a science test and I'm not going to do so well on it, you know?
Right, right.
But here, this is, and we refer, I like to call our Constitution the owner's manual for a free people. And a few years ago, I had a chance to speak at the Keene, New Hampshire State College.
Yep.
And as you know, they passed a law that's unconstitutional, that any entity that gets federal money has to have a constitution, some kind of constitution presentation.
Right, right.
But I was invited, and I took advantage of it, and there was a couple hundred students there, and I had someone from the ACLU sitting to one side, and I had another. They don't have any trouble finding liberal lawyers at state colleges.
That's true.
Liberal
right. Professors. I agree with that.
I did have one liberty-minded person who was a former state rep, Jen Coffey, who was there. And I opened up with saying, every seat here has a copy of the Constitution. I know some of you don't appreciate liberty and freedom, so you can leave it there, and I will give it to somebody who does care about liberty and freedom. And when the event ended, there was not one Constitution that was on those chairs. They were all taken.
Hal, let me ask you a more specific question about this, because I spent a lot of time now out in the swamp, you know, and I spent it up in Capitol Hill, and I have been I have seen a renewed interest, and you know, the late Phyllis Schlafly often wrote about this and talked about it, but a renewed interest in Article 1. And when I say that, I mean, there's some people up there in the swamp area that say, hey, wait, Article 1 says, you know, the Congress is congressional powers, the powers of Congress, which is right. Obviously the first article is first. So there's a certain primacy. That's what the word means. But and there's some people up there saying, hey, we want Article 1 to mean that our Congress actually plays a role in, say, war powers instead of allowing the executive to fight wars that are undeclared. Or we want Article 1 to actually take back from the administrative state, you know, these rules, these laws that are passed that allow rulemaking to go on for years. Or most interesting to me, because I find this the most threatening, Article 1 that would say to judges, we're taking away your jurisdiction on X issue.
That's right.
Totally allowed under the Constitution. And I hear people talk about sometimes you need under a conservative president, a Republican president, to remember this is the chance to sort of to strengthen the muscles that you could use under a liberal one. In other words, some of the guys in the Congress and gals may not want to challenge, you know, Article 1 authority because they don't want to mess with their own president. But now is the time to strengthen those muscles so that you can, in some day in the future, when you have a liberal, you can say, hey, you're not allowed to do that. Do you
That's
think
right.
that, Hal, in your teaching on this and what you're seeing, do we have part of the movement happening in this country and towards more liberty, towards, I think, a renewed participation? Can we get that Article 1 empowerment, get that energy going? I mean, how do we do that? Are we getting anywhere?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And it was interesting. I was at one of my daughters goes to Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. And in the we had a long all day orientation. In the evening, I went to a local minor league baseball game. And there's a young lady running for Congress handing out her little pamphlets. And I asked her, where do you find the job description of a member of Congress? He looked at me like deer in the headlights. He says, well, let me rephrase that. Where do you find the guidelines and the rules and responsibilities of a member of Congress, a member of the House? And she said, online? And I said, well, no, well, yeah, but can you be more specific? You know, where? She had no idea.
Yeah.
And it's not just Democrats. She was a liberal Democrat, but it's also Republicans. They don't understand Article 1, Section 1, all lawmaking abilities are vested in Congress. That means the Supreme Court doesn't make law. And we shouldn't be, yeah, we should be concerned who the justice is, but that justice, that fifth justice, shouldn't be life or death over our republic.
That's
and it's
right.
become that way
yeah.
because, as you said earlier, Congress can limit the appellate jurisdiction. Not only that, the Supreme Court passes a, you know, a decision, and who's going to enforce it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. All right. Hey, Hal, I got to run. Hal Shirt left. The website is campconstitution.net. Go there, campconstitution.net. The big conference is in the summer. It's a week-long one, July 28th through August 3rd, 2019. And there's also regional ones, one coming up in Western Mass on December 1st. He's very cool. It's a very important issue. He's a great guy. Hal Shirt left. Thanks for being with us. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back. It's Ed Martin here in The Movement on The Answer. Martin. here in the movement. And, you know, we've been talking to candidates all across the country. One of the things I've been doing is talking about get out the vote. And we had that Juan Hidalgo from down in on the border down in Southern California. He's running for Congress. My friend Dottie Bailey is running for the 110th, I was going to say congressional district. That'd be a lot of congressional seats in Missouri. 110th state house district. She'll be a state representative, which when she first ran for office and I had her on, I said, I can't imagine my worst enemy saying go and serve in the House in Missouri. I'm just kidding. I was kidding her then. I'm kidding now for all my friends that serve. But I thought down the stretch with 2 weeks to go, Dottie Bailey, let's get her back on. She's got, it's her first race. She's never run for office. She's never thought she was in the, she helped lots of people like me and others when they're running for office, but she decided she was sick of it. And she ran a great race in the primary and beat a guy who was more establishment and especially education establishment. But I wanted to check in. And so welcome back to the program, Dottie. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
How'd you do on the door knocking? Did what'd you learn when you knocked on all those doors?
That gets you ready. But you know what? Yeah. It does. It gets you ready. Because it's so, it's not that it's hard talking to the folks. It's just the physical part. But honestly, that's the way you do it. The founders were brilliant. They set up our representative republic, and the state representative is the closest politician to the people. So me going out knocking doors is what I should be doing, always, because then I get to hear from the people what they need, what their issues are, what their troubles are, and then I carry it back to the state house, and then it goes up the chain from there. So I don't mind doing it. Yes, it was hotter than you know what this summer, but I just broke through it and just kept going. So I'm in better shape now than I ever have ever been.
The race is 2 weeks away. How do you feel overall? We've talked about, you've volunteered on other people's campaigns for a lot of cycles, three or four cycles now. So it's different mm-hmm. now. But how do you feel about the direction of this election? Not necessarily your race, but just in general. What do you think?
Obviously, well, taking everyone in the country as a whole, I feel great. The Kavanaugh thing, I think, was a turning point. And I've been saying this for a long time, and Trump said it last night, and I about jumped out of my shoes. I've been telling people, we have two choices. The line's been drawn in the sand. It's either socialism or freedom. And he said it last night. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that is my line. I was so thrilled. So, but it is. I mean, there's never been, there's no more moderate Democrats anymore. You know, they didn't push back against these socialists, and they've just, you know, they're now one big socialist party, unfortunately. It makes me sad for them. But so really, we have no choice on that side. It's socialism or freedom. So as a whole, I believe in America. I know there's so many great Americans out there. These Hollywood elites and other elites crack me up, because they just think that we're so stupid. So I can't wait. I feel good about all races.
Tell us about, and you're running, and I should have said when I looked at your puppy dog there, Duke, it's Dottie Bailey, Dottie Bailey.com, DottieBailey.com. Go there, check it out, support
Correct.
Her in the race. So how's your race looking? What's happening in your race? Now, do you have a real opponent? I mean, I don't know. Do you have a tough opponent, or is it pretty pretty easy at this point?
You know, I obviously always want to, you know, not take anyone lightly, but there is a gentleman running out of Pacific, and he's a nice kid, and you know, he hasn't really given me a run, but it doesn't matter. I've just been working hard anyway. I just acted like it was the primary, which was very contested and very brutal. Got my eyes gouged out, but we beat him by 20 percentage points because they just kept working, and people, you know, realized she's the real conservative, where I kind of ran against the educrat type guy that liked to raise taxes, and he had a record of it, and we exposed that, and there you go, pretty easy. But, you know, it's a fairly safe Republican district, and I think right now, just like what I said before, the line's being drawn in the sand, and if anybody knows me or researches me, and you know me, Ed, I've been a true patriot, I don't know, since day one, and it's just in my blood, and you know, I'm for freedom and liberty. None of this other baloney that's out there.
Good luck with everything. Again, DottieBailey.com. She's great, and it'll be a big election, so get out and check it out. Ed Martin here in the movement. We'll be right back on The Answer. Welcome back. Ed Martin here in the movement. Hey, it's Swamp News time. Now, this is an important one you got to watch. You got to watch. Try to walk with me through this. If I'm getting it wrong or saying it wrong, you'll understand, I hope, in the next 10 days as we get to the election. You know, today it's Friday. We got 10 days, two weekends, and then the election. Okay? You're going to see the pollsters are going to start to change their tune, and they're going to move. They've been talking about a blue wave for 6 months, right? We've been talking here about a Trump wave for the whole time, too. But they're talking about a blue wave. They're going to start moving the polls in the direction of what's actually going to happen. So they've been talking for months about, for example, the Josh Hawley versus Claire McCaskill race. And they've been saying, oh, it's neck and neck. It's neck and neck. Oh, it's unbelievable. It's neck and neck. Well, earlier this week, the polls are coming out, and it's Hawley up by 7. This is this poll came out, I don't know, 4 days ago, three or 4 days ago. And the coverage is now going to adjust and slide to what the truth is. That's what I'd argue myself. But you don't see almost any coverage of that poll. I mean, I saw it, and then the Washington Examiner ran with it. Everybody else ignored it. The Swamp News doesn't want to. They're going to get their polls are going to catch up because they don't want to be embarrassed, especially the pollsters. They don't want to be embarrassed when they're off. They've been telling you it's tied, it's tied, it's tied, so you'll think that. And now when it gets to be closer, they're going to have to adjust it because they don't want to be discredited. But here's the thing on this news, and it's why it's so swampy. They're not reporting it. And I got a call, and I won't say from whom, a member of the press, and he said, I'm working on a story. It'll publish the night of the election. And I'm working on two different ways it could go. Hawley wins or McCaskill wins. And I want to ask you questions on each. So this kind of happens every now and then. The media will call and say, you know, will you play it out with me? And I said, play it along. So we spoke for 20 minutes. Ah, that's too much. Spoke for about 15 minutes. 13 minutes were about Hawley wins. At some point I said, I thought you were going to talk about if McClaire wins. He said, oh, yeah, we should do that. And we talked for about 2 minutes, and he said, oh, I think I got enough. I said, you don't think there's any chance Claire wins? He said, no. I said, you guys going to report that? He said, no. So they're now going to be quiet on the fact of where the race is, because the Swamp News is invested in making you think it's a close race. By the way, they also want to make it a close race because they want you to watch TV, and they want you to watch listen to all the shows. You should be listening to this show, of course. And so that's what you're going to see. That's the Swamp News. That's what you see. So watch the polls. They're all going to get closer. They're not going to want to publish the polls that show Hawley's up by 10. They just don't want to do that. They don't want to, but they're going to get closer and closer. They're going to bring them closer in time so they're more accurate, so they don't look embarrassed. All right, there's your Swamp News. All right, we're going to take another break. We're coming back after this. We've got Covfefe. I'm going to talk about get out the vote and what Trump's doing, endorsing all these people in his tweets, and how I think next week, that whole last week, full week, you're going to see power out of the Trump Twitter feed that's going to change the turnout. All right, we'll take a break. Ed Martin here in The Movement on The Answer. Be right back. Singing that swamp. Swamp.